You have your Bible. We are going to be looking at Genesis 28. Back in Genesis again today, last Sunday morning, we have our lectionary readings, and we kind of limited the preaching to the Genesis passage, which was about Isaac and Rebecca and some of their troubles. And today we're limiting our sermon to just this one passage here in Genesis chapter 28. Even though all of our lectionary readings kind of have the same theme. And the theme is this idea of your perspective. And if you look at Romans chapter 8, there is this perspective of what is God doing in the world, and all of creation is groaning and waiting for its full redemption. If we look at the parable, we see Jesus giving his followers a different perspective of world history and the wheat and the tares, and what is God doing there, and how is it that, you know, there are tares growing up among the wheat, and what is God doing, and what does the end of the world look like, those sort of things. Genesis 28 is also a vision. It's a vision in a dream that is given to Jacob, and hopefully that will give us a new perspective as well. So all of these passages are about perspective, but again, we are going to limit our sermon here to the story of Jacob. And his dream, and in particular, Jacob's ladder. And it is my hope that we will have a new perspective. And if all else fails in terms of our perspective here today, I hope we will have a greater appreciation for what the Bible is and what it is that God is doing in the Bible as he gives us and records for us these stories. So the title of the message is Joining In on Jacob's Dream, and it is much about a ladder, and I assure you that this has nothing to do with the fact that I found myself on a ladder quite a bit yesterday afternoon, cleaning out the gutters in and around the house and things like that. But this was all finished up before I got on that ladder myself, and I survived that ladder climb yesterday. We're going to pick up the reading in Genesis chapter 28 and look at verses 12 through 13. Let us hear the word of the Lord. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it, and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you dwell, to thee will I give it, and to your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places to which you go, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this dream and the recording of this dream. Father, we thank you for the description of the dream. And Father, today, as an additional major side note, we thank you for your call to us to join in on this dream. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Joining in on Jacob's dream. I like movies. There is a scene in the movie, Jesus of Nazareth, which shows Jesus as a very, very young boy, not more than a toddler, maybe 5 years old. And he's kind of in the backyard, apparently, of his home and his shop where his father works. And he is momentarily left unattended by Joseph, his father, who was a carpenter. And Joseph was distracted. Joseph has a business to run, and some customers come in, and they're conversing about this plow or some other such thing that Joseph had made. And so Joseph is kind of otherwise occupied just momentarily dealing with these customers about their problem. And in the meantime here, as Jesus is left unattended for that brief moment, Jesus ends up climbing up this ladder that just happens to be there, kind of leaning alongside of this other outbuilding that they had nearby. And Jesus, again, he's a toddler, maybe five, and, you know, he can barely walk, and yet he's making his way up this ladder, and it's kind of this tension-filled scene here where is he going to make it? Is he not going to make it? He can barely walk, and he's climbing this ladder. And he gets to the top, and the camera angle is such that, you know, you're looking up at him, and you see the wispy clouds there, and he's doing this panoramic view as he looks over the top of this building, and he sees the surroundings, and it's almost like he has his head in the heavens. And he looks around at the city of Nazareth. Joseph, coming back to reality, he's supposed to be watching his son. Where is he? And then he looks, and he also is in a panic, knowing that Jesus is just but a toddler here. And he looks at him, and he's in a panic, and then he smiles as he sees Jesus there and looking around at the top of this ladder. And Joseph realizes that Jesus is fulfilling all of Scripture. Joseph's no dummy. He knows the Scripture. Yeah, he's smiling because Jesus is safe and Jesus is enjoying himself. But Joseph knows that Jesus is the greater Jacob. And that Jesus is not only joining in on Jacob's dream, but he is fulfilling his own role as Jacob's ladder. You see, in the opening chapter of St. John's Gospel, if we look at chapter 1 and verse 51 in the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus himself reveals himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus takes this language right out of Genesis and he applies it to himself. This is his meeting with Nathanael. He says unto him, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God," you should check that language with Genesis 28, "the angels of God ascending and descending, not upon a ladder, but upon the Son of Man." Jesus has become the ladder. The fulfillment of the ladder. The way to get to heaven is now open. The destination is heaven. Jesus is the ladder. He's the mechanism. He's the vehicle. He is how we navigate. He's how we get there. And at the top of which we learn from Genesis 28 that the great reward is that we're in the presence of God, that God stands above the top of that ladder. So Jesus is identifying himself as the ladder and as the way, the truth, and the life. In John 1 and 31, even though that scene that we see in the movie, we don't have a record of that in the Bible, it depicts very well this idea that Jesus had that perspective. He knew who he was. Indeed, back in Genesis 28, verses 12 and 13, there is this literary depiction of Jacob's dream. It's spelled out for us here in plain language. And the ladder is very prominent. The ladder reaches to heaven. It connects from earth to heaven. Okay, there is a way to get there. There is a heaven. The way to get to heaven begins on earth. There is this ladder. And secondly, the ladder is the means of navigation, if you will. If you want to get to heaven, you're going to have to go by way of this ladder. And then thirdly, we see that the ladder leads to Jehovah. The Lord stood above it. Jehovah stood above it as the top of that ladder is there. The ladder leads to God himself. Now, no doubt that the passage here is designed to describe the ladder and to describe this dream for us that Jacob has. And we cannot afford to miss those very obvious connections to Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And we could spend a sermon or more talking about each one of those things that he sees. Not only the ladder, but the angels, and then the Lord. And we could talk a lot about all of that. We can't miss those obvious connections to Jesus. For sure, we are finding out here what it is that Jacob saw. What it is that Jacob saw in his dream. And all by itself, all of that is important. It's wonderful. It's a part of our family history. We're going to read on here that, you know, we're a part of this greater family here of Jacob. It's part of our family history. As fellow sons of Abraham, our father, we benefit to know all about what God was showing to Jacob. But I want to zoom out a little bit and back up just a little bit. The detail of it, the description of the ladder and the angels going up and down and the fact that the Lord was at the top, all that is just so vastly important. But back up, because there's something else happening in this passage. Something else that the writer of the Bible is doing. Something else that the author of Genesis is doing. The author of Genesis, the writer of the Bible, is God. And what is he doing? There's something else that he's doing here. He wants us to join in on this revelation. He wants us to join in on this dream. Brothers and sisters, we are doubly blessed as we come to a passage like this. The writer is not only describing what was seen by Jacob, the writer is also inviting us to join in to see, to hear, to experience, and to know. What a wonderful, amazing book the Bible is. Now, where did I get all that from? Well, what is this about us joining in? Well, if we look closely at these two verses, verses 12 and 13, and if we are to look at it, we say, and he dreamed, okay, fair enough, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. It doesn't say, and he dreamed and he saw. It doesn't say simply that he dreamed and he beheld. It's not only about what Jacob saw or Jacob beheld. I'm going to make a big deal about this because the Bible makes a big deal about this. And the Bible's going to make a big deal about this four times in this passage. And he dreamed, the story writer says, and he dreamed, and then the writer says, behold. That's for us listeners. That's for us readers. And Jacob dreamed, and behold, a ladder upon the earth, and the top of it reached to the heaven, and behold, there it is again. It doesn't say he saw. It doesn't say he beheld. This is written to you and me, to enter in. Some of us old fogies remember Walter Cronkite. You are there, right? All those TV programs. You are there. Behold a ladder. Then behold the angels ascending and descending upon it. And behold Jehovah. This is no mere description. It is that. This is what Jacob saw, but it's far more than that. It's much more than that. So much more than that. The Bible does not simply say he saw a ladder, he saw some angels, and he saw God. Nor does the Bible use the past tense. There's no indication where it says, you know, and he beheld, which it could have used. It could have said he saw. I studied this Hebrew very, very thoroughly here. And in the Hebrew, it is behold. Very odd that a story writer would write it that way. The Bible goes out of its way, therefore, to invite you, to invite the reader, to invite the hearer to join in. And all of the best Hebrew translations have this. This isn't some archaic thing in the King James. If you have a ESV, the English Revised Version, which most people believe is the very best that there is, and it's a modern translation, you will see the same thing. And behold, a ladder. And behold, the angels. And behold, the Lord. If you have a New American Standard, you have the same thing. Faithful to the Hebrew text. And behold a ladder. And behold the angels. And behold the Lord. Now, of course, if you're suffering through a paraphrase such as the NIV, it excludes all of this. The paraphrase, the NIV is a paraphrase. And it's based on this thing that's called a dynamic equivalent. Well, I got news for you. It isn't dynamic. And it isn't an equivalent either. The NIV simply says, and it only says it one time, and he dreamed and he saw a staircase. And it doesn't even repeat the idea that he saw the angels. It doesn't repeat the idea that he saw the Lord. Because the NIV is using this kind of modern thing, give me the facts only, give me the facts only. The writer of the Bible wants you to have the facts, but he wants you to have more than the facts. He wants you to enter in and to have the experience. Not only because it's true, and not only because it's your family, but he's reaching out to you, me and you individually, as readers and as hearers. The NIV does none of that. If you read the NIV, and he saw the staircase, and the angels, and the Lord. We could read that and we say, good for him. Good for Jacob. But that's not what is being revealed here. Jacob dreamed, and to all of us, behold, see this. Don't miss this. Pay attention to this. This is important. I want you to look as you're reading it, present tense. And so what do we have? We have the Hebrew forcing us to kind of really halt and to pause at every point here. Jacob dreams, okay. But written to us, behold a ladder. Behold the angel. Behold the Lord Jehovah. The Bible's author wants you seeing with Jacob what Jacob saw. The writer wants you experiencing with Jacob what Jacob experienced. And this isn't the only place. This isn't the only time where we find this in the Bible in this use of the word behold. If we were to look at Amos in chapter 7 and verse 1, and this is the same exact Hebrew word, thus has the Lord shown unto me. Amos is talking. And Amos is also communicating this idea that, you know what? What God has shown to me, it wasn't for my own personal exclusive consumption. It's for you, the reader, and you, the hearer. And thus has the Lord God shown me, and behold. He wanted his readers to know this. He wanted us to join in. We look at verse 4, the same passage in Amos. And again, this is the very same exact Hebrew construction and word. Thus has the Lord shown unto me. But it wasn't just about that factoid. It wasn't about that description even. Thus has the Lord shown unto me. And behold, you guys look at this. And he gives another picture. And then we look at verse 7 of the same passage and we see the same construct. Thus has he shown me. And behold, the Lord stood upon a wall. He made a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. God was taking that plumb line and he was measuring the temple. He was measuring Jerusalem to see, are those walls straight or are they crooked? As he plans to destroy Jerusalem for their crookedness. You see, the Bible is a wonderful story. And if anything else we get out of this sermon here, yeah, boy, I want you to know the detail. I want you to know the description. I want you to know about the ladder. I want you to know about the angels ascending and descending. I want you to know about the Lord as the great reward of heaven and all that sort of stuff. But I want you to also see what a wonderful book the Bible is. And the Bible tells us a wonderful story. But it isn't just what happened. And these things happened in Amos, and they happened to Jacob in Genesis. The Bible is a wonderful story of happenings. It also is a wonderful story about our family story, our heritage, because we're going to see in the detail that we're connected to Jacob. We're a part of that vast seed to whom all of these promises are given. But the Bible isn't just a wonderful story about the happenings. It isn't just a wonderful family story about our heritage. It also sets forth for us to make it our story. It is to be beheld by us. Happenings, heritage, and for us to behold. Of course, we don't want to miss the story and the detail. But we also don't want to miss the fact that the story is given for us to participate in. Back in Genesis 28, verses 12 and 13, don't miss the story. Remember, the ladder is there, right? It begins on earth and it reaches to heaven. There's a destination. You know, you think about our world, and boy, what a wonderful factoid that is for our world who thinks, is this all there is? There's a ladder there, and there's a destination. If you've been here over the last couple of weeks, we talk about there's a teleology, there's an endpoint, there's a goal, there's a fulfillment. So the story not only tells us about a ladder, but it talks to us about these angels who are ascending and descending. And so it's not only about a destination, but it's about a vehicle. How are we going to get there? And in the Old Testament, the administration was an administration of angels. We find out in the New Testament that there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And we see, as Jesus said in that passage in John 1 and 51, that he has become the ladder. He has become the mechanism. He has become the navigation device on how to get there. And so we see, as the angels are ascending and descending, we see that there is a path. And we see that heaven can be attained. And we see that the way is open. And yet at the same time, we should be learning, and again, our culture needs to know this. We've lived in the coattails of Christianity so long that there are millions and millions of people who think that heaven is somehow this given. It's a given without Christ. It's a given without the ladder who is Christ. Again, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Without that ladder, there is no path to heaven. Without the Christian faith, there's not even a heaven. Heaven is no given. Heaven is not had without Jesus Christ. But what else is described in this story, in this dream? Thirdly, not only the ladder, not only the angels, but then it says, behold, the Lord, Jehovah, was there. At the top of it, he stood. You see, he's the goal. He is the goal of heaven. The goal of heaven is to be with God. You know, back in Genesis in chapter 15 and verse 1, Abram really, really early on learned this. When God reveals himself and he's just beginning his journey, the story of Abraham starts in chapter 12 and we're only up to chapter 15 here. He's just really kind of starting out. Some promises have been made. But God says to Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. You know, it's not about the streets of gold. That's nice. The comforts are nice. The no more tears is nice. The gems, the jewels, the precious metal, that's all nice. It's all about God. And when we see all of this, as it is described for us in Genesis 28 again, verses 12 and 13, we see with a new kind of heavenly perspective what's going on in the world. Kind of like our other lectionary readings, Romans 8 is telling us about the creation and how it's yearning to be delivered from the bondage that it is in. And we learn about the world where we see the wheat and the tares that Jesus explains to them. God gives us in this vision of Jacob's ladder a perspective, a vital perspective. And furthermore, I would submit that our beholding is not limited to sight. We are not only looking in at Jacob's dream, we are listening in on Jacob's dream. We are fully joined in, not only looking along, but we're invited to listen along. Take a look and a listen at verse 13 all by itself there. Here's the third in that construct of behold. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, we're brought into this. We're brought in to see this vision. We're brought in to see this dream, and we're brought in to hear it. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Even if you were to forget about the stuff about the behold that I talked to you about, we're talked about here. We're brought in on it. And he says, behold again. He says, be attentive. And again, I look at this passage, these verses here, and I say, how really odd this is. And yet, how wonderful this is. Saying to Jacob, that's who he's talking to, behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord thy God of Abraham. And then he says, your father. Now, Isaac was Jacob's father, not Abraham. How odd, and yet how wonderful. Saying to Jacob, Abraham, your father, when Isaac was his father. Or maybe what is meant here, that father should be taken in a different way. Maybe what is meant here is that Jacob should recognize that this person who is talking, God, I am the Lord God of Abraham, and Jacob, I'm your father. And if we're in this dream and we're to join into it, Jim, God is saying to me, Jim, I'm your father. But there's other ways we could look at this as well. Maybe this was not to be designed to be read by Jacob alone. It's for all of us who are sons of Abraham. And Abraham is the father of our faith. And so while it is true that Isaac was Jacob's father, it's also true on another level that Abraham was Jacob's father. And it's also true that God was Jacob's father. How odd, how interesting, and how wonderful that God brings all of this in for us to join in with. For sure, the rest of the family tree is in view. Look at verse 13 again here. Verse 13, sorry about that. Because in verse 13, it's going to end with this idea of to your seed. These promises are made not just to Jacob. We think of promises that are made to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, but it's to Jacob's seed as well. That's us. Pay attention to these things. And then look at verse 14. We see this idea. Verse 14 is going to open with this idea of Jacob's seed. Jacob's extended spiritual family. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. Boy, this covers a lot of territory here. And it covers generations and generations. All right? As the dust of the earth, this is like the sand which is by the seashore, and it isn't limited by any boundaries. It is west, east, north, and south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All of these are in view. All of these are invited as they read this summary, this revelation. All of these folks here are invited to join in. See, hear, and experience this dream. Behold the ladder. Behold the angels ascending and descending. Behold Jehovah who stands upon the top. I want to look at one last verse here. It's verse 15. Because here it is again. I told you there'd be four of them. We've looked at the three of them from the dream, right? We looked at the first one which said about behold the ladder. Behold the angels ascending and descending. Behold Jehovah. And now we need to listen in and behold. Listen in and behold. Pay attention. Don't miss this. Again, all of this is ours to take hold of. Behold, I am with thee. There can be no question but that we are to be joining in on Jacob's dream. And this last one here, I hope this registers with you. Behold, I am with thee. Because the behold, I am with thee echoes again and again and again throughout the whole of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And by the way, it forms the basis of the great promise of the Great Commission that's been given to us. This is not foreign language. And neither is this language limited to Jacob. How do we know that? Look at how that Great Commission closes out. We're going to look at the ESV for this one. Matthew 28 and 20. You've heard this before, right? And behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, are you joining in on Jacob's dream? That's what the writer wants. That's why he wrote it the way he wrote it, for us to join in. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your good word. Father, we thank you that the Bible is not simply a book of stories detached from us, even true stories that are detached from us. But they're true and they're wonderful. And they talk about our family, the family that you have caused us to be born again into. And not only are they wonderful stories and happenings, and not only is it a depiction of our great heritage in our family, but these things are written for us to behold, for us to take hold of forever. Thank you for this, Lord God, and thank you for the perspective that this gives for the whole of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.